How many of you would agree that we live in desperate days? Desperate days. Spelled with a capital D.
All capital.
All capital. Underscored. With the blackest of emphasis. My wife hates me to say that. Underscore it with just, we live in desperate days. We turn the TV on, we listen to the radio, we read the newspapers. We see the Israelis and the Palestinians in conflict, desperate days. We see the Russian economy, desperate days. We see African nations at war with one another, desperate days. We have the Irish Republic Army with their neighbors, truly desperate days. Close to home, we have Indian-American relationships, desperate days. We just live in very desperate days. And we can carry it on down to our own community, to on where we live in King City, low-cost housing. We got zoning issues. Narrowing it more down, we got marital conflicts. We've got raising children. So I think the bottom line is that we need faith for desperate days. Faith for desperate days. Well, my subject today is desperate days are stairway days. So instead of spiraling down with all the desperation that I've just mentioned, let's let the desperate days that we are in right now be stepping stone days where we can actually step up higher. And to that end, let's step all the way to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, if you will. Hebrews 11, 6. We need faith for desperate days. Desperate days are stairway days. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Very simple scripture, and yet it's a very important scripture. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Now, I chose the scripture with the subject of desperate day stairways, because we got to start somewhere, and where else can you start with the F-A-I-T-H? That's what we've got. And it's the F-A-I-T-H that's going to get us stepping up higher. Now, the Bible is just full of people who were in desperate days. Somebody wrote this. Its record is made up of them. Its songs are inspired by them. Its prophecy is concerned with them, and its revelation has come through them. That is those desperate days that are recorded in the Bible. So with this text, without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists, that he rewards those who earnestly seek Him. There are just four things that fall right in place. It is what I could call the four answers for the four secrets for answered prayer. We all pray to God during the desperate days. Well, here we find here secrets of answered prayer. And the first is, please God. It says it right here. We've read it twice already. Please God. Secondly, we want to come to God in the right attitude and come to God in the right motive. Thirdly, we've got to believe that He is. And we just sang that a moment ago. We have to believe that He is. And then fourthly, from this text, we must believe that He is a rewarder of those people who come to Him by faith. So those are the four secrets of our answered prayer. But we need faith for these desperate days. There is the dilemma of the desperate days. Right now I'm going through three very desperate issues in my life. Are you going through anything that's desperate in your life? Anyone? Don't raise your hand. Because I would want everybody to raise their hand. Because we are. If you're honest with yourself, you are going through a desperate day. And I want to say right off the hand that I'm not in despair. I'll repeat. I am not in despair, but I'm in desperation. I'm in desperation. So I turned to Webster, and Webster says, well, if you're in desperation, it's because you've lost all hope, because you've gotten into despair. So I'm not taking his definition from desperation. I'm using the word desperate in that, hey, I'm at my wit's end. I don't know what to turn. And I also want to recant something that I've said before. I think I've recanted this before, but I want to recant it again. Remember I told you, dear people, that when you come to the end of your rope, what do you do? Yes, that's what you should do. But I always told you to do what? Tie a prayer knot and hang on. That is a bunch of bull. No, you don't hang on by a prayer knot. You, what Irita said, you let go. But I always thought that was so neat. Oh, you come to the end of your rope, you just tie a little prayer knot and you just hang on. And that's what you do. Oh, but I'm desperate. Oh, I want to tie a beautiful prayer knot and I'm going to hang on to it. No, that is not true. What you do when you come to the end of your rope, you just let go and you're desperate. And when you are desperate, you're going to find underneath you are the everlasting arms to lift you up and take you through desperate days if, in fact, you have faith. That's the catch. Always a catch. You got to have, that's the catch. If you have faith. So I'm not in despair, but I'm in desperation, which is to say, I need the Lord. Now I turn to those guys in the Old Testament who were in desperate days. What about all of those people that Moses were leading out of captivity in Egypt, going into the so-called promised land? Do you know that they were only 11 miles away from it and it took them 40 years to go from King City to Greenfield? 40 years. When they got to the Red Sea, they were desperate. And you can see it in your mind's eye. The Red Sea is before them. They got mountains on the left, mountains on the right. And then you've got this aggressive army being led by King Pharaoh approaching them. Now, if you ask me, they were in desperation. But God intervened and opened up the Red Sea and let them go through. Now, I'm just giving you an example of some of the people in the Bible who had desperate days. When later in their life they had to cross the River Jordan, the ark came in because they were desperate, but they had faith. And I can see the ark as it's in the midstream and the waters have stopped flowing. Because God was blessing people who were in desperate times. People who were sore pressed, who did not know what to do. And so we review the history in your mind of like Nehemiah. We think of people like Daniel, Hosea, staying with Jesus in the darkness of Gethsemane, the early church. Now, faith did not, let's say, make those desperate days, but faith's work is to sustain and to solve the desperate days. So right now, where you are in a desperate situation, you are not going to be in despair, but yet you are going to say, I'm in desperate days, like the three teenagers who were thrown into the fiery furnace. Their situation was desperate, but they did not despair. What they said was, hey, my God is going to deliver me. My God is going to deliver me. They said that in a desperate situation, but they did not despair. And so we're using those words, which may confuse us, but we are in desperate days. You are in desperate days, but you're not going to despair in those desperate days. And like Job, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Or like Paul, I know in whom I have believed. So desperate days call for us to exercise our faith so we can have stairway days. Now, if you choose, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, if you will. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Here we have a situation where a person is desperate to trust in God for help. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 8, 9, 10, and 11. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure. Now, sometimes when you're in the situation like you are now, you may feel you are in great pressure. We were under great pressure far beyond our ability to endure. Beyond our ability to endure. So that we despaired. We despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts, we felt the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that we will continue to deliver us as you help us in our prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. So while it ends saying that, you know, I'm getting through all this because people have been praying for me, it moves up further in the sentences that tell us this happened. Things were happening and we despaired even of life. All of this happened that we might not rely on ourselves. You catch that? All of this happened. So what you're going through right now is happening so that you will not rely on yourself. That is so simple to read and to proclaim. It is difficult to latch onto and walk in it. But that's the steppings that we take on the stairway. We have these desperate days that make us have stairway days. Happen so that we will not rely upon ourselves. A Reverend Shadwick wrote, I'm not much in poems, in fact, maybe once a year, but this is so good I want to read this poem to you. When obstacles and trials seem like prison walls to be, I do the little I can do and leave the rest to thee. And when there seems no chance, no change from grief can set me free, hope finds its strength in helplessness and calmly waits for thee. The helplessness situation, part of the situation, is not to hang on, but to let go and let God. And so we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 that these things happened. He was in despair, but God blessed him because he relied upon him and not on ourselves. That's the biggie. A few pages over, if your Bibles are still open, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, just one verse, number 8. Sometimes in desperate day situations, we are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. In these situations, he's saying, I'm desperate because this is falling upon me. And it's sort of interesting when he first says he's hard-pressed, but he's not suffocated, that's what he's saying. Puzzled, but he's not utterly baffled. You may be hard-pressed right now, and you may feel like you can't even breathe, but you're not going to get suffocated. That's what he's saying. I'm hard-pressed, but I'm not suffocated. I'm puzzled, I don't understand this, but I'm not utterly baffled. I'm pursued, but I'm not caught up or outrun. I'm struck down, but I'm not out of the fight. But the first two have to do with wrestling matches. Hard-pressed. Sort of puzzled, but not baffled, is what the guy's going to do to you. The third one, pursued but not caught, has to do with a race. And number four, struck down but not out of the fight, has to do with the boxing match. So he and others and me and you are in despair, but we're not going to give in to what it means, because despair means to be broken, to give up hope, loss of hope, if you're in despair. Desperate means you're in despair, but it will shift it, not in the literal sense, as I said earlier, but go beyond that. In desperation, we're going to turn to God. In a hopeless situation that you're in, turn to God. I want us to turn to 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 7. Again, a man, and all this just sort of lays the foundation for just a few things I wish to say in desperate actions that we can take. But 2 Samuel, verse 7 of chapter 22. 2 Samuel 22, verse 7. Is the word distress there in your Bibles, those of you who've turned to it? Distress. Say, I'm in distress. I'm in distress. Okay, he says, in my distress, I called to the Lord. I called out to my God, and from his temple he heard my voice, and my cry came to his ears. Two things he did. He turned to God in prayer, and secondly, he cried out to God. Now, he's in distress. You're in distress. And the two things you're to do, first of all, you are to pray, and you're to cry out to God. And the results, which we will not read, verse 8 through verse 21, show all the great manifestations of God. Turn to Psalm, if you will, 18, verse 6. And while you're turning, just a comment about what we just read. From his temple, he heard my cry. This temple is his palace. This is the one who is in heaven. This is his throne, where he's worshipped by the heavenly host. And it's from this temple that he rules the universe. And when he says, in my distress, I called out to God, and my cry came to his ears. God has ears. Yes, in the same psalm, it talks about his nostrils, his mouth, his feet, his body. He rides, he's seen. Talks about his voice, his breath, and his arm, just in this one part of 2 Samuel. Psalm 18:6, we have the same two things mentioned that he is to do in distress. Psalm 18:6, it says, in my distress, I called to the Lord, I cried to my God for help. From his temple he heard my voice, my cry came before him into his ears. So, as we pray and we cry out to God, from his temple, he in fact will hear. If we do those two things, the results, again we won't read, but verse 6 all the way through 20, material manifestations. So in my distress, I want to exercise my faith by praying and crying out to God. And there's a difference between praying and crying out to God. Okay, here is what you can hang on to this week in your distress. It's actions that you can take in distressful times. And I found them in Psalm 143. There are many in Psalm 143, but I'm only just going to list five. Now I say, I'm going through right now three great distresses in my life. You may be going through one, two, four, five, or six. But there are distresses that we have. And in Psalm 143, verse 5, this is the action that I have taken to make my desperate days stairway days. Verse 5, it says, I remember the days of long ago. I remember the days of long ago. What I'm doing is remembering former days that were bleak, black, and dreary. I'm remembering the days of former days. It says here, I remember the days of long ago, when things were bleak, black, and bad. And God delivered me. And this is what you have to do. You have to remember the days of old. This is an action that you take in the desperate situation that you're in right now. You will remember the days of old. You have to remember, you have to quiet yourself and go back through the streets of your mind to yesterdays, and then you can remember. Hey, God did deliver me. I was in the pits. But God delivered me and raised me up. So actions that you take in distress is, number one, you remember the days of long ago. Number two is also in verse 5. Meditate on all your works. I will meditate upon God's works. And that means I have to go to the Bible to see what his works were in the Word. I meditate upon those. The manifestation of God's power on my behalf, as the manifestation of God's power was upon others in days gone by. I call to mind, I remember, unchangeable God, what he did. I remember that the power still is there, that God can impose now in my situation, in your situation, as he in fact did in those former days. So number one, I remember past deliverances. Number two, I meditate upon the Word of God. Number three, in verse 6, I spread out my hands to you. I spread out my hands to you because I've got no other one to help. You know, I can reach out to somebody else, but since human hands are human hands and frail as they are, I may not get the help that I need. So I must reach out. It says here, I spread out my hands to you. Now, in fact, if you were sinking in the water, your boat has sunk and there you are just in the middle of nowhere, but some guy comes by to help you. What do you do? What do you do with your hands? You reach out your hands. Help! Save me! No, you reach out your hands. So he says here, in my distress, I'm going to spread out my hands to you. You know, you see it on TV all the time. Somebody's in a desperate situation and they need help, and so the helicopter's flying over, the airplane's flying over, or somebody's driving by. And what do? They say, here, I am. I have a need. And from sitting in a classroom in the first and second grade and you have to go, you lift up your hand. Hey, it's me. I have a need. To situations now that are just so desperate you don't know which way to go, you lift up your hand and say, hey, amid all the billions of people, it's me standing in the need of prayer. I'm right here. I need it. So what he did, he raised his hands in prayer. How many? Yes, he raised his hands. I mean, he is desperate. It's not just one hand, hey, here I am. It's two hands. Here I am. Here I am, God. So this is a distress action that I take. Number four is also in verse 6. I lift my soul to you, King James says. I lift my soul to you. And we've been taught that, among other things, well, the definition of the soul is our mind, our will, and emotions. So in my distress, I lift my mind to you and I say, hey, I'm not going to try to figure it out anymore. It only confuses me. So I will, as it says, I will lift up my soul to you, my mind part, and my will, I let my hands off of it, and my emotions, a tear would be in order. We lift up our soul to God. This is an action that you can take. Then the fifth and last action is in verse 9. I hide myself in you. A distressed action is to hide yourself in God. And on a marginal note, in some Bibles say, to hide me with you. And the Hebrew is that I hide myself with you. I put myself under your protection. And under your protection, I cannot be tormented. Under your protection, I cannot be touched. Because I'm in the protection of God. So these are five things that I am doing repeatedly, if not daily, often, to try to move through desperate days and make it stairway for me. Now repeat them for you, because we need to do it. Maybe you should repeat it after me. Distress actions are these. Number one, you remember past deliverances. Say it. I'm going to remember past deliverances. Number two, I'm going to meditate on God's Word. Meditate on God's Word. Number three, I'm going to raise my hands in prayer. I'm going to raise my hands in prayer. Number four, I'm going to lift my soul to the Lord. Lift my soul to the Lord. And number five, I'm going to get to God and I'm going to hide in Him. Get to God and hide in Him. Get to God. Where are you? He says, I'm right here. Okay. You don't have to go anywhere to get to God. You just got to do it. All you got to do is just step in Him because He is right with you. And people, it works. It works. So desperate days are stairway days if we will take our appropriate faith actions. It'll work. And you will find yourself not in despair. Let's pray. Father, we want to bless you that you have taught us in the Word of God that we can be distressed, but we're not going to be in despair. We've got faith. Personal faith for desperate days. And in these desperate days, we're going to, as the writer of Hebrews said, we're going to come to you, we're going to please you by coming to you. We're going to come to you in the right attitude, in the right motive. We're going to believe that you are. And we're going to believe that you are a rewarder of those that come to you. And we're going to start stepping up instead of stepping down. God, may the truths that have been shared today echo in our ears this week to help us be the people of God that you would have us to be, not tormented and touched by Satan, but instead being blessed and loved by the Lord. We will hide ourselves in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, may we? Lord, we are standing in your presence. We are standing in your presence. And we cannot see you bodily, but we can see on the table before us that which represents you. And it is just like a picture in a picture album of what you went through for us. The broken body, the spilt blood. And so as we partake this day, I ask your blessing upon us uniquely so. In Jesus' name, amen.